joyfully. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, again, one that we read at the beginning of this message. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in you when you die to self. Die to self-pity, die to self-justification, to self-promotion, to self-centeredness, and a lot of other self-isms. The world teaches you to love self and, in effect, worship self. But God's word says, die to self. I heard an evangelist once say what he does every morning. He looks in the mirror and says, drop dead. I thought that was pretty cool as a teenager. I just laughed at that. And I started doing it myself, you know, at first because I thought it was so funny. But then the Lord said, okay, it's funny, but think, this is real. This is real. And so it was a graphic way of applying Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Dying to self is a decision to consider it to be a spiritual reality that you are dead. Okay? In other words, you don't consider your desires to be important. Ooh, that's a hard one. You don't consider your desires to be important. Your eyes are on what God desires for you, and you willingly follow his will. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, we read, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's something that I hope you'll take home with you and think about it. Ask the Lord to help you understand that. Die to self. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in you when you, first of all, die to self. And secondly, when you consciously make Christ the center of your life. Start arranging the parts of your life around Christ, not arrange Christ and his commands around your life and goals. Unfortunately, we so often do the latter instead of the former. Arrange the parts of your life around Christ, not arrange Christ and his commands around your life and goals. G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher of yesteryear, once said, do not attempt to be a Christian by correcting the circumference of your life. In other words, the exterior of your life, that which others see. Let Christ come into its center, and he will correct its circumference. I thought that was very well put. G. Campbell Morgan also gave an apt illustration of this truth. A circle is only perfect when a compass is used with one leg placed in the center. The leg that has the point, you know, that makes a hole in the paper. Okay, that one. Freehand circles, just drawing it freehand, never result in a perfect circumference. You can be an artist with art coming out of your ears, but you cannot make a perfect circle. Many try really hard to get pretty close, but no one has ever drawn a perfect one. Only when you use a compass, when you let Christ be the center of your life, then you can draw the circumference and it will be a true perfect circle. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in you when you first of all die to self. Secondly, when you consciously make Christ the center of your life. And thirdly, when you surrender to Christ once and for all. Then reinforce that decision daily. You know, I remember as a teenager that I surrendered my life to Christ once and for all. But I realized that I had to reinforce it daily. Because even though I made that single decision to make Christ my Lord and my Savior, that I had to reinforce it daily. because my flesh would want things. And I had to say no, because that's not what Christ wants for me. And so I had to go on my knees and ask the Lord to give me strength to say no to my desires, to my goals, and say yes to what he was calling me to do. He was calling me to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. In fact, I didn't want to be a talker. I didn't want to get up in front of anybody, because I hate to stand up in front of people and talk, because I probably would mess up or whatever. But I just wanted to be in my little corner and read, write, work on a computer, whatever. And yet God said, no, I want to use you as a preacher. And he made it very clear, and I won't go into all the details, but he made it very clear so that even my logical mind could see that he was calling me to preach. And I realized that I had to surrender to him completely. I had to let him take full control, so that what came out of my mouth was a benefit and a blessing to those who were listening. And so surrender to Christ once and for all, then reinforce that decision daily. Every situation in life is answered by submission to Christ. Not I, but Christ. What shall I wear? Well, what would Christ want me to wear? What shall I do with my money? Well, what would Christ want me to do with my money? What should be my priorities in the use of my time today? Well, what would Christ want me to prioritize with my time? How should I react to what that person just said to me? Well, how would Christ want me to react to what that person just said to me? Every one of the above questions can be answered by three simple tests. What would please my Lord and Savior? What would honor my Lord? What would serve his cause? The only way to truly know the answers to these three questions is to spend time with him prayerfully reading his word. You know how often I emphasize to you to read God's word? How many have heard me say that more than once? Okay. How many have heard me say that 100 times? Okay. All right. You see why it's so important to read God's word and ask God to guide you, to help you to know his will for you, so that you can honor him, you can serve him, you can do what he wants you to do. The unsaved, for the most part, don't let their religion interfere with their lives. From lifestyles to life goals, recreation to relationships, philosophy to friendships, not much is affected by their religion. Whereas a truly born-again Christian is dead to his old life and is mastered by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Christ says in his word, do this or change this in your life, do you get your back up and say, that's asking too much? Or more subtly, I don't think that's what it really means. Surely he doesn't mean that. Or do you say, yes, Lord, I want what you want? Many years ago, evangelist Bob Jones Sr., the one who founded Bob Jones University that Brenda and I attended and met in, gave a helpful illustration. He was an evangelist, and he gave this illustration. Picture your life, your heart, like a house with many rooms and closets. After you're saved, the Holy Spirit begins to clean out, rearrange, redecorate, give new purpose to each room and closet in your house, your life. Are you letting him do his great work of cleansing and changing you day by day, one area after another? Or are you balking at opening certain doors to areas in your life, maybe even locking those doors? It's important that you consider these questions carefully and honestly. Getting back to the main question, how is Christ formed in you? We've established that he is formed in you as you submit to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in you when you first of all die to self. Secondly, when you consciously make Christ the center of your life. Thirdly, when you surrender your life to the Lord once and for all, and then reinforce that daily. Fourthly, when you feed on Him daily, not just on Sundays or at special meetings, but every day. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." Psalm 119, verse 103 says this, "How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." In Job chapter 23, verse 12, "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Wow, when I read those words in my teenage years, I was convicted greatly because I was addicted to Louis L'Amour books, Westerns. I was addicted to all sorts of books. I just could get away from reality and just have fun in another life of whoever the author was. And when I read these, I said, do I really consider God's word to be that wonderful, sweeter than honey, treasured? Wow, I don't think I do. And I had to ask the Lord to change me. Give me a new taste. Give me a new desire. I don't know how many of you have ever had your tastes for food change. How many have ever hated something and then you loved it later? I mean, anybody? Okay, let me give you an example. When Brenda and I were on deputation raising support to go to Nova Scotia as missionaries, we of course went to different churches, and the church pastor would very often take us out to eat maybe one time or have something in their home. And so here was one time in Massachusetts, I believe this pastor said, let's go out to eat. Where would you like to go? And I'm like, if you're paying, I'm not going to tell you where to go. Whatever you want to go, pastor, you know. And he said, well, let's go have Chinese food. And I went, no. The first experience I had with Chinese food was sweet and sour something, pork or whatever. And my brain just doesn't like to mix sweet and sour. It just doesn't work in my brain and my taste buds. And I thought, oh, no. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to need your grace. You know, and we went to the restaurant. Well, what do you know? When I submitted to the Lord and said, Lord, whatever you want, just do your work in me. Change my taste buds. And we went to a Chinese restaurant, and we had the most delicious Chinese food. And I thought, I love Chinese food. I don't know if it was wontons or it was, I don't know what it was, but it I think it was beef and broccoli or something. And I think it was also a General Tso chicken. And it was like wonderful. And I loved it. And I said to the Lord afterwards, Lord, I really need to trust you more. Here I had fixed tastes, or at least I'd had them fixed in my mind. But you can change that. The same thing can happen with reading God's word. You may look at God's word and you say, oh man, this is not as exciting as a novel. This is not exciting as reading a, what do we call it, geographic magazine. What is this, ever that geographic magazine is? National Geographic, that's it. It's not as exciting as reading Popular Mechanics. I love to watch or read Popular Science and Popular Mechanics. And yet, when I started realizing what God was doing through his word in me, he changed my tastes, and he can do yours as well. Oh, listen, you cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in you finally when you have the mind of Christ, when you think as he thinks, when you have his attitude of selflessness, humility, and obedience. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16? And we have one more passage after that, Philippians 2, verse 5, and we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. First Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do you get the mind of Christ? Look at that verse again. We have it. We have the mind of Christ. You don't have to get it. You just have to acknowledge it and follow it. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And here, the thing that we're commanded in this verse is to have the attitude that Christ had. So here's something we actually do need to do. We actually do need to have this attitude. We need to make up our minds to have the same attitude that Christ had. And what was this attitude? A servant's attitude, an attitude of humility, of complete commitment to what the Lord wanted us to do, to being willing to do whatever God wants us to do and suffer whatever God wants us to suffer, knowing that his grace is always sufficient. It was with Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Christian, perhaps the Holy Spirit is working in your heart right now. You've come to realize that self is very much alive and well and has usurped the throne of your heart and life, which belongs only to Christ. Has there ever been a time in your life when you surrendered to Christ your heart and life and everything you own or desire? Maybe you did once, but you've forgotten that decision. Will you surrender again? If you've never done it before, would you consecrate your life to him now? If you've done it before, but you have forgotten it, would you reconsecrate your heart and life to him? As the hymn writer wrote, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your all, does the Spirit control? You will never be blessed, nor have peace or sweet rest, until all on the altar is laid. An altar was a place of sacrifice. An altar required the victim to be killed and placed on there and then burned. Christian, will you surrender your all to the Lord Jesus Christ right now? If you'd like some help with this, please talk with me after the service, or if you're connected on Zoom or listening to this message on our website, would you contact me so that we can talk? Your lady will prefer to talk to a lady. My wife would be glad to talk with you. Brenda and I talk all the time. We share with each other our insights and our understanding of God's word. You can trust her to be a good counselor to you, ladies. Perhaps as you're listening today, you realize that you have never repented of your sins. You've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't know what it is to have Christ in you because you're not yet in Christ. Will you trust Christ as your Savior now? The Lord is speaking to your heart about your need to make sure of salvation. Make sure you are truly in Christ. Then would you respond to him by telling him in your heart right now that you will talk with me or with someone else who you know is truly born again and can show you from the Bible how to be saved? Don't let Satan distract you and keep you from making sure of salvation today. You're a Christian, and the Lord is speaking to your heart about surrender, about consecration to him. Would you respond to him? Would you let him truly be your Lord as well as Savior? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you show us so clearly your will for us and what you offer us in your enablement, your grace, so that we can do what you've commanded us to do, not in our own strength, but relying on your power, your enablement. Father, I pray that we would not only rejoice that we are in Christ, but that Christ is in us. And Lord, I pray that he would truly be the center of our life, center of our desires, of our goals, of everything. May you truly be our all in all. I pray that as a result, that you will use us to draw others to the Savior by our words, by a life and attitude that backs up our words. Lord, I pray that you would use us to be a blessing to others and a witness to the lost. And may your name be glorified in the results. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.